This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Welcome, Talk Catholic, the website.com. Your host, Tim Kilcoyne. No agendas here, just the straight and narrow. Through Mary to Jesus, the Catholic faith proclaimed and preserved. Hope to see you here every week. TalkCatholic.com for an old website that gives you a nice snapshot of Tim. I didn't just start doing this a few years ago, but in fact, I did start doing this 9 years ago for WQPH. This is an anniversary today on the Feast of Our Lady of Perpetual Help,
the patroness of this radio station,
and also the Feast of St. Irenaeus
tomorrow, which is my mother's 9-year memorial, Mary Frances Hastings Kilcoyne. I think it might be significant that she passed on the Feast of St. Irenaeus, because my mom was a verbal powerhouse for the Catholic faith, and she passed the baton just as she was leaving, I do believe. Thank you, Mom. So I have chosen St. Irenaeus as our saint of the month. Well, anyway, it was on the Feast of Our Lady of Perpetual Help 2017 that
I was sitting down at a little restaurant in Somerville with Mary Ann, our owner, and I kept it really simple and basic about what I'd like to do. I'd like to provide a show.
Free of charge.
That will be completely faithful to the official teachings of the Catholic Church. The only real Catholic Church, not any other kind of
counterfeit.
I.e.
a show
that's in conformity with all the teachings from the First Catechism.
To our second edition, currently.
I say the latest second edition, because some have said that our catechism has already changed. Well, it will if there's a third edition, but let's not go there now.
I told Mary Ann,
I'm going to keep it in conformity with magisterial teaching of the Catholic Church. I'm going to make sure that the show is relevant, that it's going to speak to the times in which we live.
And the issues that confront family life every day.
Okay, this is why I go off on the vacuous homily that is all too often the case on a Saturday, Sunday. No. This is how God's people
are formed as disciples. They have to be taught well.
By trying to see the correlations and connections between the world that we're living in today and the scriptures and the 2,000 plus year tradition of church history.
And church tradition
is a connection.
Living and organic.
But generally speaking, I wanted to be sure that we were going to draw those connections because we in the apostolic field are called to teach and teach well. And this includes anybody that's involved in the pastoral apostolic work of the church. We don't just do our own thing and express our opinions. We have to be connected by our faithfulness to official church teaching. That is what makes us Catholic. And very different, and one of the reasons why we're still here 2,000 plus years later.
It is not finger to the wind, the zeitgeist of the times.
In any event, I also just did, I told her, I'll do my best with the personality God gave me to make it as engaging as I possibly can. I wish I was a better comedian, but I'll try to work on it. But thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus.
And Mary Ann Harrell.
I'm indebted to our owner for kind of picking me off the golf course. At the time, I was pretty much full-time with my golf career.
But I think it was my voice, my delivery, that stuck with her upon meeting her for the first time. And the background was all there, educational ministry over many years, undergrad, bachelor's theology, master's in religious ed, etc., etc. All the boxes were checked, but the airwaves are a whole different venue. And somehow or another, she thought I would be good there. And Mary Ann's discernment has often been spot on, I want people to know. So thank you, Mary Ann, 1,000 plus times. Onward, I tell her, as long as we can go together. All right, let us begin our Saint of the Month from Catholic.org, St. Irenaeus.
The writings of St. Irenaeus entitle him to a high place among the fathers of the church, for they not only laid the foundations of Christian theology, but by exposing and refuting the errors of the Gnostics, they delivered the Catholic faith from the real danger of the doctrines of those heretics. He was probably born around 125 in one of those maritime provinces of Asia Minor, where the memory of the apostles was still cherished and where Christians were numerous. He was most influenced by St. Polycarp, who had known the apostles or their immediate disciples. Many Asian priests and missionaries brought the gospel to the pagan Gauls and founded a local church. To this church of Lyon, Irenaeus came to serve as a priest under its first bishop, St. Pothinus, an Oriental like himself. In the year 177, Irenaeus was sent to Rome. This mission explains how it was that he was not called upon to share in the martyrdom of St. Pothinus during the terrible persecution in Lyon. When he returned to Lyon, it was to occupy the vacant bishopric. By this time, the persecution was over. It was the spread of Gnosticism in Gaul and the ravages it was making among the Christians of his diocese that inspired him to undertake the task of exposing its errors. He produced a treatise in 5 books in which he sets forth fully the inner doctrines of the various sects and afterwards contrasts them with the teaching of the apostles and the text of the Holy Scripture. His work, written in Greek but quickly translated to Latin, was widely circulated and succeeded in dealing a death blow to Gnosticism. That book is called Against the Heresies. At any rate, from that time onwards, it ceased to offer a serious menace to the Catholic faith. The death of St. Irenaeus is not known, but is believed to be in the year 202. The bodily remains of St. Irenaeus were buried in a crypt under the altar of what was then called the Church of St. John, but was later known by the name of St. Irenaeus himself. This tomb or shrine was destroyed by the Calvinists in 1562, and all trace of his relics seemed to have perished. So you can already see what I actually was talking about at the beginning of this show and what the duties are of an apostolic teacher. He was determined to lay bare the heresies of his time. And this particular heresy, and we'll speak to it in just a minute here, Gnosticism, had much to do with thinking that gnosis, knowledge, was select, that only a few people had it. You had to be kind of part of the in crowd spiritually. Just another example of the various heresies today, like called wokeism. Okay, what the heck is woke? You could argue it's simply evil. But there's a need to expose woke today in conformity with church teaching, scripture, and tradition. This is what we must do, that the faithful be informed as to which way to go. So much at the heart of what it means to be a disciple of our Lord, and particularly called to ministry. So now I'm just going to pick out some select excerpts. We don't have a lot on the biography of St. Irenaeus because we're going back to, you know, the year 127 AD at his birth and 202 at his death. Many of these saints that lived in those first 3 centuries, we just don't have a lot of information on. But he was different, and he was a father of the church, which means he was one of the erudite intellectuals of his time, and he wrote a number of books. And it says here, the most important that survives is that book I mentioned, Against Heresies. In book one, Irenaeus talks about Valentinian Gnostics, who he says go as far back as the magician Simon Magus out of the scriptures. He attempts to prove that Valentinianism contains no merit in terms of its doctrines. He says, one should not seek among others the truth that can easily be gotten from the church, for in her, as in a rich treasury, the apostles have placed all that pertains to truth. Did you hear that, everyone? You know, we have people, modernist clergy today, over in the Vatican especially, who think that anything before 1965 is like to be banished. Well, the communists follow that playbook. Just burn history books, revisionism, etc., etc. No, we have what the apostles lay down, and we put them in books called catechisms all through church history, and they all need to be in conformity with each other. He says, the apostles have placed all that pertains to truth so that everyone can drink this beverage of life. She is the door of life, i.e., the Catholic Church. But he also said, Christ came not only for those who believe from the time of Tiberius Caesar, nor did the Father provide only for those who are now, but for absolutely all men from the beginning who, according to their ability, feared and loved God and lived justly. and desired to see Christ and to hear his voice. So here's the true ecumenism of the faithful disciple, that indeed we are to preach and teach the Catholic faith to all people. Now, synodal brand that's being espoused today, it gives one the impression, not the impression, it's pretty much part of the playbook, that we're just going to listen to each other. And everybody's got an equal voice. Remember, it's all the big tent theology. Everybody's got something to say. We just need to hear it. As if we, as the Catholic faith and church, don't have something special. This is a major problem today with our leaders.
To use an old expression of the great fathers of the church, it is anathema, not acceptable. One could argue it's a form of Gnosticism today. A select knowledge that this is the way it's going to be from here on. The synodal way, the synodal path. Did that come down from Sinai all of a sudden? I didn't hear about that epiphany.
And don't get upset at me for being faithful. That's all that I can be. That's what you're supposed to be as well. I go on. Irenaeus was one of the first people to really teach the church's understanding of oral tradition. He actually was the first to say that it's a safe guide to the interpretation of Scripture.
He also said,
he cited the Roman Church as an example of the unbroken chain of authority, which text Catholic polemics would use to assert the primacy of Rome over Eastern churches by virtue of its preeminent authority. The succession of bishops and presbyters was important to establish a chain of custody for orthodoxy. Do you know how important St. Irenaeus is for our times? Because the people in our church, too many of them, the great Sanhedrin, I'm sorry to say, are telling us that it doesn't matter. It's okay to have different points of view. Everybody's got a little piece of the truth. And that's why we should just come around the table, a big table. And nobody's going to lead the table. Okay? You can lead the table. You're just as good as anybody else at the table. This is total heresy. Irenaeus would just be on steroids with the sermon of all time today. And because he can't be here, well, you've got Tim.
And I will do my best.
Let's take a look at some other notable quotables from azquotes.com on St. Irenaeus. Well, this first quote, I think, is exactly what St. Irenaeus would say about the synodal way. Error never shows itself in its naked reality in order not to be discovered. On the contrary, it dresses elegantly so that the unwary may be led to believe that it is more truthful than truth itself. Oh, indeed, the delivery can be ever so much the venue of the evil one himself. He doesn't come with horns. How many times have I said that? No, he looks the part. He talks the part. He dresses the part. But he ain't the part. He's a fraud. And this is how evil works. So don't be lured by eloquent speeches coming out of the Vatican about something that's nothing but Protestantism 3.0. We've been through this one era after another in the history of Christianity, that somehow it's just not cool to submit to authority with a thing called obedience, but rather you are your own authority. And what you have to say is just as good as anybody else. Well, that's not the Catholic faith and the true Catholic Church. And don't get lured or deceived by some of the marauders that, as our Lord warned us, there will be false prophets amongst us. In our church, in our time, in everybody else's time, the devil's been with us a long, long time. The next quote, no man can know God unless God has taught him. That is to say that without God, God cannot be known, which is all another way of saying believe, have faith, and God will guide you. And he will speak to you in his still small voice called conscience, and also infuse you with his wisdom if you desire. If you are open through faith to the wisdom of God, he doesn't hold it back. And boy, do I know that. I guess I don't have 4 PhDs, but he does provide somehow or another. Yes, sirree. If I be a vessel an open, docile vessel for our Lord's word and stay strong in sanctifying grace, then I can speak with authority. And I know that just drives a lot of people crazy. And amongst our hierarchy, if they don't speak truthfully, then they lose their authority. So don't be deceived by the dress people wear. Well, here's a good quote that goes against the pounding of the modern social justice drum. The business of the Christian is nothing else but to be ever preparing for death. How's that to counteract that overwhelming emphasis these days coming out of Rome? They lead you to believe that it's all about climate change. No, no, no. It's about saving souls, and your soul for sure. Are you preparing and acting every day as if it's your last? How's that? Wouldn't the world be a better place? I think so. You know, don't be like some of the Christians of old age where they just put off baptism, for instance, in these early years that St. Irenaeus was part of. It was so unbelievably difficult to be a Christian because you're going to go to the public slaughterhouse, right? And people would put off their baptism until their deathbed. We're just grateful, at least yet, you know, we haven't experienced that kind of persecution. Don't think it's not possible. But if you do live your life in such a way that it's all about the next world, you will prioritize things correctly. It doesn't mean that we don't care for the things of this life. God created everything and it's good, but we don't seek the created things as our creator. We always put God first and then enjoy and put to use, have dominion over his created things. And the whole history of paganism is simply they put the creature before the creator. So we don't want to be doing this in the church by putting social justice over and above the commandments. The next quote. Oh, the next quote calls, begs for a public forum between Cardinal Fernandez of our current Dicastery for the Faith versus St. Irenaeus as he proclaims the following. The preaching of the church truly continues without change and is everywhere the same. It has the testimony of the prophets and apostles and all their disciples. This is what's at issue, ladies and gentlemen.
Divorced and remarried Catholics cannot be receiving communion without an annulment of that first marriage. God never willed a plurality of religions. We did that through our evil means. And there is only one definition of marriage. I believe 6,000 years old, according to Ryan T. Anderson of the book Truth Exposed, and it's called One Man, One Woman.
In the last consistory of bishops over in Rome, there was talk about a new catechism on Vatican II. There's even discussion about Vatican III. But we haven't really got Vatican II yet correctly interpreted, have we? Because we weren't supposed to throw everything else out the window before 1960. St. Irenaeus is telling us what is so characteristic of Holy Mother Church. She does not change. Her teachings and dogmas do not change. They are for all time, for all people.
Everywhere.
And anything other than that, that you might be hearing in Holy Mother Church, beware. We will be here. At WQPH Radio 89.3 FM on the other side, we'll continue on to reclaim Catholic masculinity with the men we need.
Well, Brant Hansen tells us about the scariest thing is the name of the chapter. We humans actually like being scared under certain controlled conditions. Some people go to haunted houses or watch horror movies. Some people like the feeling of cheating death by riding roller coasters, skydiving, or bungee jumping off a bridge. Some people are Detroit Lions fans. But if you want to do something truly terrifying, spend time pondering this possibility. You might never become the man you were intended to become. Think about the horror of looking back on your life and realizing it was all about you. Whatever you wanted, when you wanted it, gaming, doing drugs, having porn fantasies, using women, trying to collect experiences, and buying some stuff. That's it. Your days just rolled by. You committed to no one but yourself. You chose to insulate yourself from anything that would call you out to be a man. None of the things you sought forced you to go beyond yourself. Whenever you were called to sacrifice and there wasn't anything in it for you, you said no. You were loyal to no one, ultimately, but you.
You never became who you needed to be. Picture that, and then picture the inevitable result. You're now utterly alone. Because that's where living to fulfill your own desires, however disordered, eventually leads. Real commitments to real people and real causes make you grow up. If you commit to a real woman, you won't be able to just conjure up any woman in your mind and then, when the sexual thrill is over, move on to something else that gives you stimulation. Nope. A real woman will test you in 1,000 wonderful ways. Fantasies never tell you to stop playing games and go to bed. Real women do. Fantasies never ask you tough questions about why you bought that thing you bought when you're on a tight budget. Real women do. Fantasies don't get sick, wake you up at 2 a.m. and ask you to get up, get dressed, and run to CVS. Real women do. Fantasies don't argue with you. They don't challenge your claims about yourself. They don't make you angry. They don't require you to develop mercy and grace under pressure. They don't call you out to be a strong protector, a servant, and guard of the vulnerable around you. They don't call you out to be a hero, but real women do. They will call you out to become a keeper of the garden. It's not only a wife who can help you to become the man we need you to be. Working with a variety of people, exercising, making friends, and maintaining relationships with family members are all things that can push you to be who you should be. But marriage is an obvious example of making a commitment to serve a real human, no matter what, and the growth that comes from that. Marriage is hard, and the first indicator of that truth is that it usually starts with a vow to never quit made in front of a large group of people. Lots of hard things start with a vow, actually. Lots of very good, very hard things. My wife and I got to watch our son, Justice, take a vow. He vowed that he would defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution, and faithfully discharge the duties of an Air Force officer. He excelled, but it was not easy. He knew it wouldn't be. He anticipated that he would be asked every day, every hour, or possibly to do things he didn't feel like doing in the moment. He grew as a man. This growth starts with loyalty, with a commitment. No matter what, I'm going to do this. That's a vow. Marriage and the military will call you to grow up. So will other commitments to causes and people and missions bigger than you. In our affluent Western culture, growing up for many of us is weirdly optional. Historically, men had no choice but to grow up. They had to work to eat. They had to defend themselves, their families, and their communities. But most of us here and now choose the life of an entertainment consumer, just moving from one experience to the next. And then we're shocked at the prevailing sense of meaninglessness. A recent headline in a UK paper about 16 to 29-year-olds reads, 9 in 10 young Brits believe their life lacks purpose, according to a shocking new study. This sounds harsh to our modern ears, but Jesus taught it. We can make ourselves completely useless. We're supposed to be salt, but salt can lose its saltiness. And then what good is it? It's worthless. Anyone who doesn't remain in him, he says, is like a useless branch that withers and then gets thrown into a pile and burned. It has lost its value, its purpose. John chapter 15, verse 6. Earlier, we mentioned the three men in Jesus' story who were entrusted with their boss's money while the boss was away. When he came back, he learned the two of them had worked to invest the money and had made a profit. The third just buried what he had been given. He did nothing with it. The boss was not pleased with that guy. At least I sensed some displeasure, reading between the lines, and perhaps you'll pick up on that subtle vibe when he says, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 25, verse 30. He seems upset. Again, if you want to be freaked out by something, don't bother with the haunted house tour. Be freaked out by the very real possibility that you never become the man you could have been, that we needed you to be, because it was all about you. Don't stay freaked out about it. It's up to you. You can change your course. It's simply a matter of intending to do what you need to do to fulfill your purpose. It really does have to be intentional. Most good things don't just happen. If you want to become a doctor, you can't do it by just wondering, will I ever become a doctor?
There are decisions to be made and steps to be taken.
Marriage and the military help you to grow up. I'm hearing echoes of Kennedy Hall's Terror of Demons here about the importance of having a cause, having someone to care for. getting up early, not being a couch potato. And for myself, how about being single and getting sick? That'll help you to grow up fast. Why am I thinking of an old hometown
high schooler at the time
who said it early on?
That famous wisdom.
Better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. There is some truth in that.
Get into the game. Even if you lose, you tried. It's worth the effort, as it is right here every week. This is WQPH Radio 89.3 FM. To Our Lady of the Americas this week to prepare for our 250th birthday next Saturday. God bless.
Let your light shine. That is what it's all about here at WQPH Radio 89.3 FM. But we need to hear your story. You want your voice to be his voice. That is making the faith known to others. Please, my number is 877-625-3727. Tim Kilcoin, TalkCatholic.com. St. Mother Teresa told us, your ministry is your work right where you are. Grab on to this microphone. God bless.